What if you could store grid energy for 4 days straight at a cost nearly 10 times cheaper than lithium ion? That's not a future projection. It's happening now. Commercial shipments of a new iron air battery have begun from a gigafactory in West Virginia, promising to deliver over 100 hours of storage for less than $20 per kilowatt hour. This week, we're tracking the technologies poised to reshape the global energy landscape and the escalating race to control the materials that power them. Welcome to Troy Technical Intelligence, your weekly briefing on the technology developments shaping global industry. I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy.
This week, we're seeing three major themes converge. First, a monumental surge in energy storage deployment in the United States, driven by big tech and grid modernization. Second, the commercial arrival of new battery chemistries that are challenging the dominance of lithium ion for grid-scale applications. And third, the intense global competition to build the battery recycling infrastructure that will define the supply chains of tomorrow. Troy, let's start in the U.S. We're seeing a forecast for a massive build-out of grid-scale batteries.
That's right. According to Black Ridge Research, the United States is on track to add a staggering 24.3 gigawatts of new grid-scale battery energy storage system, or BESS, capacity in 2026 alone. This is being driven by seven major projects, including the Darden BESS at 1,150 megawatts and the Roadhouse project at 600 megawatts.
24.3 gigawatts is a huge number. Put that in context for us. What does that kind of capacity actually do for the grid?
It's a foundational shift. This level of storage is critical for stabilizing the grid as it absorbs more intermittent renewables like solar and wind. It allows grid operators to store clean energy when it's abundant and deploy it during peak demand, enhancing reliability and reducing reliance on fossil fuel power plants.
And it's not just utilities. We saw a massive deal this week involving Google. What happened there?
Google signed an agreement to buy all the power from the first two phases of Cypress Creek's Steel River Energy Center in Arkansas. This is one of the largest projects of its kind, combining 1.6 gigawatts of solar generation with 1.9 gigawatt hours of battery storage.
Why is a tech company like Google making such a direct, massive investment in a power plant?
This is about achieving their goal of running all data centers on 24/7 carbon-free energy by 2030. Simply buying renewable energy credits isn't enough to guarantee their servers are running on clean power at every moment. By pairing massive solar with massive storage, they can ensure a constant, reliable feed of carbon-free electricity, day and night. It's a new model for corporate decarbonization.
So, how does this specifically affect U.S. and European manufacturers?
The demand for BESS hardware is exploding. This means immense opportunities for manufacturers of battery cells, modules, inverters, thermal management systems, and containerized solutions. While U.S.-based manufacturing will benefit from incentives like the investment tax credit, European firms with specialized high-tech components are in a strong position to supply into this value chain.
And for trading companies and distributors?
They should be aggressively mapping this ecosystem. The need to source and distribute best components at scale is urgent. This includes everything from the batteries themselves to the control software and power electronics. Building relationships with system integrators and developers like Cypress Creek is crucial, as is understanding the logistics of delivering these massive projects.
So, what's the actionable insight here for executives?
This isn't a future trend, it's a current infrastructure boom. Executives need to immediately assess where their company can fit into the BESS value chain, whether it's supplying advanced materials, manufacturing components, or providing specialized grid software. The time to engage the U.S. market is now.
That massive build-out must be putting pressure on battery technology itself. And this week, we saw a major breakthrough from a company called Form Energy that goes way beyond traditional lithium ion. Troy, what have they achieved?
Form Energy has announced its iron air battery is now delivering over 100 hours of energy storage at a system cost of less than $20 per kilowatt hour. To be clear, that's a potential game changer for the grid.
100 hours of storage? That's more than 4 days. And less than $20 per kilowatt hour is dramatically cheaper than lithium ion. How does this technology work?
It's based on a simple, reversible process, rusting. The battery takes in oxygen from the air to convert iron metal into rust, which releases energy. To charge, an electrical current converts the rust back into iron, releasing oxygen. Because it uses iron, one of the most abundant and cheapest materials on Earth,
it can achieve this breakthrough cost point.
And they've already started commercial shipments from their Gigafactory in West Virginia, so this isn't just a lab experiment.
Exactly. This is commercial deployment. Form Energy is targeting a new market segment called ultra-long-duration storage, designed to keep the grid stable during multi-day periods of low wind or solar generation. It's a direct threat to natural gas peaker plants, not other batteries.
And it's not the only alternative chemistry making moves. We also saw major announcements for sodium-ion and iron flow batteries.
That's right. The Chinese battery giant CAT is partnering with SolarPro to deploy a massive 2 gigawatt-hour sodium-ion BESS project in Eastern Europe. Meanwhile, in the U.S., ESS Tech has signed a letter of intent to deploy over 500 megawatt-hours of its iron flow battery systems, starting with a project in California slated for 2027.
What should U.S. and European manufacturers take from this diversification of battery tech?
It means the stationary storage market is not a monolith. Lithium-ion will not be the only solution. This creates new opportunities for manufacturers of specialized components for these alternative systems, things like pumps, membranes, and electrolytes for flow batteries, or air handling systems for iron air batteries. European chemical and engineering firms are particularly well-positioned.
What about for trading and distribution companies?
Their product portfolio needs to expand. They must get educated on the performance characteristics, safety profiles, and supply chains of these new chemistries. Their customers in the utility and industrial sectors will begin demanding these long-duration solutions, and sourcing will shift from being purely focused on Asian lithium-ion to include U.S. and European innovators like Form Energy and ESS.
The actionable insight, then, is to look beyond lithium?
Precisely. Executives should be actively scouting these alternative technologies. They need to understand the new supply chains being created and identify potential partnership opportunities with these emerging leaders before their production capacity is fully committed.
All these new batteries, regardless of chemistry, will eventually reach the end of their life. This brings us to our final theme, the global race to build a recycling industry. We saw conflicting signals from China this month. What's happening there?
In July, the market for used battery sales in China saw a price decline. This was driven by softening raw material prices for lithium and cobalt, and a more mature market better transmitting those price signals. However, this shouldn't be mistaken for a slowdown.
Because at the same time, they are launching massive new facilities.
Exactly. China is industrializing battery recycling at a scale no one else is matching. A subsidiary of Narada Power just launched a new facility capable of processing 150,000 tons of spent batteries annually. Envision Green Energy opened Hong Kong's first compliant recycling facility, and another firm commissioned a new dry process recycling line. They are building a dominant, state-supported circular economy.
Treating scrap batteries as a strategic mineral reserve, how are Western economies responding to this challenge?
Europe in particular is moving with urgency, driven by regulations like the EU battery regulation. We just saw German recycler Silib acquire a facility in Bavaria. It's set to begin processing up to 10,000 tons of EV batteries per year starting in the fourth quarter of 2026.
And that facility will produce something called black mass. Remind us what that is.
Black mass is the powder-like material that contains the valuable cathode metals, lithium, nickel, cobalt, after a battery is shredded. Silib will feed this black mass into its own advanced hydrometallurgical plant to produce high-purity, battery-grade materials, creating a fully integrated closed-loop system inside Germany.
We also saw a new specialized player, Lynca, targeting the UK market.
Yes, Lynca has spun off from its New Zealand parent company to focus exclusively on recovering minerals from EV batteries. They plan to commission a demonstration facility in the UK by 2027, using their own hydrometallurgical process to localize the recycling supply chain in Europe.
What does this recycling race mean for US and European manufacturers, especially car and battery makers?
It represents a critical opportunity to onshore their supply chains. Partnering with emerging Western recyclers like Silib and Lynca is essential for de-risking from geopolitical dependence on raw materials from China and elsewhere. It's also the only way they will be able to meet upcoming mandates for recycled content in new batteries.
And for trading companies?
A whole new commodities market is being created for black mass and recycled battery-grade metals. Success will require a deep understanding of the chemical specifications, purity levels, and the complex regulatory landscape, especially in Europe. This is a high-value, high-compliance market.
So the key action for executives is to lock in these future supply sources now?
Absolutely. They must proactively engage with these Western recycling pioneers. The goal should be to secure offtake agreements for their recycled materials today to guarantee a stable, compliant, and localized supply for their factories tomorrow. This capacity will be in high demand.
Troy, let's distill this into a strategic summary. What are the three most important takeaways for executives from this week's developments?
First, the U.S. grid-scale energy storage market is in a full-blown boom. The 24.3 gigawatts of deployment in 2026 is creating massive immediate demand for hardware, software, and engineering services. This is a foundational infrastructure build-out that Western firms must participate in.
Second,
the technology is diversifying. Commercially viable ultra-long duration storage from companies like Form Energy and ESS Inc. is shipping now. This is creating new supply chains independent of lithium-ion, presenting both a threat to incumbents and a major opportunity for agile manufacturers and distributors.
And finally,
the race to control the circular battery economy is on. China is industrializing at scale, but Europe is building a sophisticated regional response with companies like Silib. For Western manufacturers, securing access to recycled battery materials is no longer a sustainability goal. It is a core competitive and supply chain security strategy.
A new energy infrastructure, new technologies to power it, and a new race to recycle the materials. A pivotal moment for the industry. That's all the time we have for this week's briefing. Thank you, Troy.
Thank you, Susie.
For Troy Technical Intelligence, I'm Susie. We help you separate the signal from the noise. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts to stay ahead of the curve, and join us again next week for your strategic briefing.